On today's Compassion Radio.
Worship is spiritually formative. Like, we've separated it out as a, even as a musical interlude, but what we do in the course of our worshiping together as a community shapes us, forms us, shapes our understanding of God, our understanding of what it means to relate to one another.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Tracking the triumph of God in every nation on earth. Welcome to the daily broadcast journal known as Compassion Radio. With all else going on in the world these days and in our nation, so much of the goings-on in Ukraine has somewhat faded from our ADHD culture. Today, we're going to visit with a godly servant who sensed the call of God to bring his unique gifts to serve this country and to minister in the lives of so many believers as they have walked through incredibly difficult times and circumstances for their nation. From the Australian outback to European cathedrals, today's guest has four decades of diverse experience. Let's send it now to Bram Floria to make introductions.
We're welcoming back a friend and someone who has a large footprint, shall we say, around the world in music and arts evangelism. Now, Fred Heumann and his wife Judy have been pretty much everywhere on the planet, helping the church equip themselves to become great communicators, and usually through the arts. But he's done a lot more than that, and we're going to talk a bit about that and where he's going next. The director of Music Works International, Fred Heumann, welcome to Compassion Radio.
Bram, it's so good to be with you. Thanks for taking the time.
We've talked many times over the past year, especially about the impact that the church is having in some key places in the world, places that you've been active in, even when they weren't in the news. Fred, in a few weeks, you're going back to some place that's very dear to us, and that's the country of Ukraine. You have a long-standing relationship with the country because you've been training pastors and worship leaders for a lot of years. And I want you to tell me just a little bit about how God bent your heart toward the country of Ukraine, and then we'll talk about what's going on right now with the country.
It's a long story, but I'll try to keep it short because it started 25 years ago, right when the country was opening up. We were missionaries in the UK at that point, but in the former USSR, the Jesus film was being shown all across the country, and people were coming into an understanding of a relationship with God that they hadn't before. And those new believers were being formed into little church groups. And the Jesus film, their organization had determined they also wanted to help these new little groups understand not just fellowship and Bible teaching, but the importance of worship. So because I was in the UK and because I was fairly well-traveled, I got the assignment, the request, and accepted the assignment, go into Estonia, Latvia, and Ukraine, and do some recording with national believers in local studios in the national languages. Estonia and Latvia were the first two countries, and God did wonderful things there, but I was blown away in Ukraine with the musicality, the people that were there, what was going on even in the city then.
Well, think about how important it is to get the word itself into the language of the people, because if we think about beautiful music, we could listen to something on the radio in Latvia as a tourist, say, oh, that's lovely music, and have no clue what's being said there, or have to sit down there and really concentrate what little rudimentary bit of language we might know in order to understand what's being said. The worship of the church is supposed to be the people worshiping, and you are helping them to come into a whole new era of expression in arts and worship that we take for granted. We just assume we should be able to go down to a music store to find the resources we need to help lead our own people in worship. That did not exist in these countries at the time that God called you there.
It did to some extent, but obviously the church has been in Ukraine since 988. Yep. So, you know, the Orthodox Church has been there for, you know, centuries. And even Protestant believers had been there before the Soviet Revolution, then underground during all of Soviet times. But these were new believers who had a connection to the culture, but didn't have a connection necessarily to those two entities.
Yeah.
So it was important to understand that they could worship in their language.
Yeah.
So often missionaries in the past had brought in North American songs done in a North American way.
Yeah, in English probably,
intentionally.
Too.
Oh, well, yeah, unfortunately, yeah. The language of God, right?
Yeah, exactly.
A new Latin. But it was important that these believers understand that it was their heart, their words, their opportunity. It was giving them tools and an idea. But as I said before I left, even in 1992, I said, these songs are not the new canon. These are now not the only songs that you can sing.
Right. These are the seeds of new creativity.
Yeah. These are things to show you you can worship God with your words and your way with your own music. Yeah. So that was kind of important.
That's by way of introduction to what we're going to talk about today. So I just want to establish for our listeners that you have an integral place in the history of the modern church in Eastern Europe. And because of that, you've planted your flag there and said, my heart is here as well. And you're still doing it. You're still training people how to communicate effectively in their own culture, in their own language. And you're going to be doing that next month in Ukraine. So tell us a little bit about the event that you're helping to anchor.
Well, 3 years ago, as part of my studies, I'd already been involved and committed to what was going on in Ukraine. And it was obvious that all these churches had taken on a North American motif, let's call it, musically, contemporary music, done in a contemporary way. But these students who were at the Ukrainian Evangelical Theological Seminary in Kyiv hadn't really been challenged with the theological basis of it. And we wanted them to have that foundation so they wouldn't just adopt Western, because it's not just from North America, but from Australia and England, Western ways.
Yeah.
We determined that we would start a seminar which they chose to call Music and Worship. I was a little taken aback with that at first, because people too often think of music and worship as one is the definition of the other.
Right.
The more we've gone through this now, I realize that calling it music and worship is probably really smart.
Yeah, because we're talking about lots of different expressions, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, right?
Well, sure, that is definitely meant to be a part of our worship,
right.
But it is not all that worship is, and unfortunately, we get it wrong here.
You know, amen to that.
Music equals worship.
So define it for us. Tell us what it's like to be actually entering into the full range of worship and what you discover by teaching this there.
You're talking to somebody who's been studying intensely for 5 years, so it's tough to be brief.
You got to get it done in 15 minutes.
That's right. Yeah. This is 30 pages of paper, Bram. Give me a break. No, I think the biggest issue is we need to understand that worship is about God. It's not about us.
Yeah.
And it's designed to be God-centered. In fact, God is the one who initiates it and enables it. It's not an opportunity for us to beat our breasts, sing our songs loudly, scream loudly enough to entreat God to come down eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But he actually extends the invitation to us to become complete in our relationship with him, and that's what worship expresses.
Yeah.
So if we realize, first of all, that he's here, secondly, he's invited us. We're not screaming to ask him to come. That changes our perspective in the choice of music, in the way we approach it, in the way we voice our prayers, in the way we set up our liturgy. And when I say liturgy, liturgy just means the work of the people. If we have that as a foundation, then we can make decisions about music, about context, about how we approach it. We can't just adopt it from the top, say, well, we'll have music and this will create worship. We call the 40 minutes we start the service with is worship, and the rest is the preach, you know. It's all worship.
Tell me about the universal forms, then. What kind of things are you doing besides just what we would consider praise and worship songs that would be considered truly worship?
I've just been teaching my classes in Ukraine via Skype of the difference between personal prayer and public prayer. So often, if we're leading a 20 or 30-minute set with songs, we take time to pray, but it's like one individual praying, when that person on the platform really is designed to bring the prayers of the whole congregation together.
Right.
So prayer, voiced prayer, vocalized prayer, is incredibly important. We're talking about that. We're talking about universals that were established by Christ in worship, like Lord's Supper, Communion, Eucharist. I choose to call it Eucharist because that means Thanksgiving, which is what it's meant to be.
Interesting.
And baptism.
Yeah.
Jesus initiated those things. While baptisms don't happen every Sunday, I'm of the opinion that the more we can celebrate the Lord's Supper or Eucharist, the more close we are to the heart of God, and the more we gain. And that's a Protestant evangelical speaking, so.
Good point there from our guest Fred Heumann on today's edition of Compassion Radio.
And this month, we're on a recruiting mission, so to speak. We want you to become part of our vision team. If you haven't considered becoming a monthly partner before now, please do. A regular gift of any size is literally our loaves and fishes. Why? Because we know that every time you give, you're praying for us and for God to multiply your gift. We've seen God do that very thing time after time. Now, if you're already a sustaining partner, thank you. You are the backbone of Compassion Radio. If God has blessed you this year, if He's growing your faith, please consider an extra faith-giving gift this year. Even $10 or $20 more a month would have a profound impact on our vision, plans, and outreach in the next 12 months and the amazing stories of faith that we can bring to you. Friends, the time is right and the field is ripe. Join us as we bring the compassion of Jesus this month to the neediest places on earth. Just give us a call, 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And we're on the internet at CompassionRadio.com. Friends, we don't go unless you go with us. So give us a call today. And now, back to the program.
Our home fellowship that we meet with every week starts and ends with the meal. We actually sit down and share over the plate our conversations and our lives, and that merges right into our praise and worship and then into our study of the Word and closes in prayer and even dessert afterwards. So for us, we're trying to contextualize that based on what we're reading in the New Testament as being the most effective way to really connect, to sup with somebody. And we've seen some real growth spiritually in our own group by doing that, that our worship is soup to nuts. You know, it's from the walk in the door to the time we go out. This was a worship service. And serving one another across the table is actually part of that for us, because we bathe it in prayer and we have an expectancy that God would use that to open us up to what He wants to tell us today.
Yeah, no, you actually are close to the early church in doing that. They had what we call the agape meal, which was a fellowship, which was time together. Important things happened over the table.
Yeah.
And that's why the Eucharistic communion or the Lord's Supper should be at the core. It's God offering to sup with us, to fellowship with us. So in the early church, they would have the agape meal, but the Eucharist would be part of that process. As time went on, the agape meal got separated from the Eucharist, but when they started, they were a hand in glove.
Yeah.
And I think that's significant. I think it's very significant.
Okay, so these are the forms that you're learning more about as you get deeper into it, and you're discovering them by teaching and learning alongside these believers, especially in Ukraine. What impact is it having, this new awakening of these ancient forms with contemporary worship? How is it affecting the country now?
You know, it's tough to say. I mean, we believe that it's going to impact the world, of course, but it's rather grandiose to think we can see that in 3 years. But I think in terms of the lives of the students and the lives of the faculty, they say we need something more. We need a theological basis for our worship. It doesn't mean it should be all hymns, old hymns or all hymns. It doesn't mean it has to look like Orthodox services, although those are incredibly beautiful. What does it mean to have principles from which you can make decisions? So what's been interesting is that as students go, and I've been teaching there 3 or 4 years, and I see students who might celebrate communion once a month or once a quarter say, you know, my church really needs to do this every week, and I'm pushing for that. It's gradual, but the life of worship is central to the life of the Christian community.
Yeah. Is there even a Christian community without it?
Without it?
Yeah.
No, I would say not, because worship is spiritually formative. That we've separated it out as a musical interlude. But what we do in the course of our worshiping together as a community shapes us, forms us, shapes our understanding of God, our understanding of what it means to relate to one another. I'd like to think we're sowing seed. I'm especially intrigued to see this group from Kyrgyzstan coming through, because the people in Ukraine, and this gets to the meat of your question, the people in Ukraine at the seminary are involved in training pastors and Christian leaders all throughout former Soviet Central Asia. They are bringing people in on a part-time basis. We're working with the full-time students, but the fact is some of these part-time people are coming to say, we need this as well. So there's a potential to send them out with this understanding, frankly, because Ukraine, even in Soviet times, was the buckle of the Bible Belt of the Soviet Union.
Yes, it was.
It was, and to the same extent today within Eurasia. What happens in Ukraine will influence the church throughout Eurasia. For example, most evangelical pastors, even in Russia, have Ukrainian background.
Interesting.
So it's strategic planning. I'd like to say we conquered the world in 3 years. Somehow God doesn't always work that way. our works on our timetable.
Yeah.
I think we're planting significant seeds, if I may be so bold.
I would hope you would believe that, because I think you'll act in faith when you really are convinced that this is our time for this season to rise up and harvest the field that's white.
Oh, yeah.
Things that are happening in youth ministry throughout Eastern Europe right now are profound, and the harvest is finally coming in after 20 or 25 years of solid toil.
Yep.
So I do see that there's a wave beginning, and it's been washing its way up from the global south, I would think. But it's also in the shadow of some real threats. And when a society, a culture, feels an existential threat, there's opportunity there. There's an inflection point where spirituality emerges again as one of those places of refuge. We've got to run to our strong tower and see how we're going to survive these threats. And we don't sense the immediacy of it here in the West as much. We hear about it on the news. But describe for me the kind of existential threat that the Ukraine and the other Eastern European countries feel right now with a resurgent Russia.
Ukraine especially is at the core of it, at the front lines of it. It is both internal and external. And this is a country that's now been independent for the longest time in its history.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, still at the core in the government, there is a great deal of corruption. They're trying to walk through that. But as I'm sure, I know you remember, but your listeners may not remember, in 2014, a very corrupt president who committed to joining forces with Europe all of a sudden turned face and went to Russia. And students started a protest in the center of Kyiv in Freedom Square, or Maidan, which is means square.
Mm-hmm.
And 100 of their own people were killed by their own government a couple of months later. Several days later, the president left the country, tail between his legs, with a lot of money and a lot of rubbish left behind.
Yeah.
So the country's been trying to reform. They got rid of that issue. But then immediately, Putin moves into Crimea. Immediately, Russian-backed separatists, and they have evidence of that being Russian-backed, have taken over a chunk of eastern Ukraine. And it's like this open wound, this open sore where nearly 9,000 to 10,000 people have been killed.
And it's still a hot conflict many days of the week, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yes. And it's recently been hotted up. Several of our students were down in a village right across the front lines. It was being shelled several weeks ago. They're trying to bring solace, to bring aid, to be helpful. So it's affecting the sense of the whole country. There are, let's say, at least 1.2 million internally displaced peoples as a result of this. 1.2 million?
Million in that one country alone?
Yes, just from Ukraine. I mean, two of the people who teach in our department at UETS have not been back to their home in 2 years. They have two places there, and they've not seen it. They don't know what's happened to it. We have faculty who used to teach at Donetsk Christian University, which basically has gotten shelled and taken over by Russian-backed soldiers. Pastors have been murdered there. So it's happening at that.
Fred, I want to carry this over to another conversation because we're getting to the meat of the challenge that the church is facing in Ukraine right now and why it's so important that you and others stand with you to equip the church to face it. And face it with faith and with real power. So I'm going to break the program right here. We'll come back tomorrow to talk more with Fred Heumann of Music Works International about the opportunities and challenges that the church is facing right now in Ukraine. Fred, thanks for joining us today.
It's so great to be with you, Brad.
This is no time for fear. This is a time for faith and determination. Don't lose the vision here. Carry it away by emotion. Hold on to all that you hide in your heart. There is one thing that has always been true. It holds the world together. God is in control. You and me, God is in.
Music from Morning Song here on Compassion Radio, and it's so comforting to know that, yes, indeed, God is in control. As we wind things down for today, friend, if this ministry is a blessing to you, please contact us today.
Well, Bram, as we continue here in the summer of 2017, we're staying on the theme of Christ in the conflict.
But it's become a real stage for a big passion play, you might call it, between great powers. I mean, there's a lot of pressure from the West trying to hold up the front, and a lot of pressure from Russia trying to seize back what they feel is rightfully theirs in the old Soviet model of things. It's not easy, and the Ukrainian people are under assault constantly. We don't hear much about that. They're under electronic surveillance. They're under all kinds of attacks electronically through taking over banks and shutting off utilities. All kinds of stuff is happening every single week that we just don't hear about. And on the front lines where the battle is actually taking place at the eastern end of the country, there is a burgeoning Christian community that's stuck right in the middle. And I mean in the middle.
In the middle.
Now imagine the front lines usually has kind of a no man's land. If you can think back what you know of World War I, there was this area between the trenches that nobody went unless you wanted to die. Something interesting is happening in that no man's land on this particular front line. There is a church being built and growing. It's a kind of a tabernacle, a giant tent that this evangelical church from Kyiv sent there and put up and said, whoever wants to come, this is a place of safety. And the armies, for whatever reason, have taken them seriously. They won't shoot at this tent. And people come out from both sides, mostly widows and orphans from the war, from the Ukrainian side, from the Russian side, and they pour into this tent every week to worship. They've had a dozen people or more baptized right there in the middle of no man's land between the Russian and the Ukrainian forces.
Don't you love it?
We get to be a part of it. That's what's so fun for me, is we got to meet the people when we were over there in May that are literally leading this and sponsoring it and supplying it. And Oleg Magdich is our contact there. What a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's maybe going on 40 years old now. He looks like he's about 90 around his eyes because he's seen so much. But he's got a youthful vigor still in his frame, but it's just a lot of sorrow in his eyes. But he also has a huge amount of hope. He's a pastor and a youth director by day, and he spends the nighttime actually getting there to the war zone, helping to make sure the church is taken care of and making sure there's a pastor there every week to preach. He told me that we could do this very thing. We could send a pastor to them for only about $3,000 or $4,000 a year.
For a full year, we can support a pastor there.
So please give as generously as you can to that project, because you can't imagine being on a more important front line of faith and a front line of politically and militarily anywhere on the planet than this Hope Chapel in the middle of the war zone of Ukraine.
Bram, many of our listeners may remember and have been involved with this church, New Life Church in Kyiv, before,
yes,
as we were sponsoring the orphanage for the children of war that they were rescuing. We know this church. We have known it for several years. We know how efficient they are. We know their heart. And any of you that were involved with the orphans, please be involved with this too. If God touched your heart for Ukraine before, don't miss the opportunity to do this now. And for all of those who missed that opportunity, please help them support a full-time pastor in no man's land for $3,000. Now, this is somebody that will lay their life on the line because they know anything could happen at any time. But they will be supplying food and necessary items through the church as well.
Yeah.
But the important thing is the encouragement and reaching out to those who don't know the Lord yet. Support this tent church and this pastor.
And building real hope day by day. Think of some of those orphans that you helped sponsor years ago. They're young adults now, and some of them are serving in youth ministry right there in the same place in the war zone. Many others have moved on to more hopeful careers somewhere else, but are constantly coming back to serve.
I would love to see God raise up a pastor from those orphans.
Wouldn't that be something?
That would be beautiful.
Well, however God's going to supply the need there, we're going to be part of it, because we're going to be the ones that say, yes, go, we'll back you. Compassion Radio friends have that opportunity to make it happen right there in the middle of the war between Ukraine and Russia. So let's get to it.
Compassion Radio is a ministry supported solely by those who receive a blessing from it. So if you've been encouraged today, would you encourage us with your gift of support? You can reach us by calling toll-free 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address, Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And you can always find us online right where you'd expect, CompassionRadio.com. And as we mentioned earlier, if you're blessed by this broadcast, please consider becoming part of our vision team at Compassion Radio. Your monthly partnership is literally what keeps this ministry on the air on your local radio station. Thanks so much for your ongoing prayers and sacrificial gifts. That toll-free number once more, 1-800-868-2478. On behalf of Bram Floria, Cher Nelson, and the entire Compassion Radio team, have a wonderful day in the Lord, and we'll see you again next time with more Compassion Radio.